So there's a team of us. I'll just go through my evaluation team. Alberto Cardea is my dean. He used to be my department chair, and he's the co-principal investigator along with myself. Lindsay Nyback is the program manager, and she's really the glue to the project. She keeps us all on task. Without her, this whole initiative would not be run very well. Justice Akora is in our room here. She's a graduate assistant and an MPH candidate in our program. Jackie Williams is the liaison at the State Department of Health that works with us and then works with the various partners with the State Department of Health to facilitate the evaluation process. Mandy is the project lead. She essentially the project manager running the intervention throughout the state. And then Rose is critical in that she's the one that's in charge of the trainings that are happening at the Early Childhood Education Centers, which I'll refer to as ECEs. We have no disclosures to report. Our funding does not create a conflict of interest. Our funding comes from the CDC. It's a $5 million initiative. Within the State Department of Health, we call it the PA 1305 grant. The partners and the stakeholders and the community hear of this initiative as the Live Healthy PA. And there's multiple domains on this grant, and this is just one of five that I actually am the evaluator of. So this initiative recruited ECEs, TIU unit and the Pennsylvania Department of Education recruited 25 early childhood education centers in year one, and then year two we ramped up to 50. So this particular presentation is about the quantitative study of the 75 ECEs that have impacted 4,532 children. We use the PA Knapsack. I don't know if you folks are familiar with that as a self-assessment tool. It's essentially given to the ECE teachers prior to the program launch, and then our various partners. There's about six different agencies that work with the ECEs and provide the training and the technical assistance to launch the intervention, and then afterwards there's a post-assessment. And then during that pre and the post-assessment, the TIU staff actually sit down with the teaching staff and go through each of the questions. So even though it's a self-report, there's oversight on the part of TIU staff. So the intervention consists of making changes in various nutritional aspects of what the children are exposed to. With the fruits and vegetables, it's frozen, fresh, canned, in its own juice, no syrup. The vegetables are dark green, red, deep yellow, not potatoes nor corn. And the vegetables cannot be prepared in any meat fat or margarine or butter. With regard to the meats, fats, and grains, the good news with the latest that we're hearing on the news, there's no sausage, bacon, hot dogs, bologna. Ground beef has to be 95% lean. There's no high sugar, no high fat foods, no high salt, nor sweeter salty snacks. And the meats are lean, low-fat, baked or boiled chicken, 93% ground beef, turkey, and so on. If it's a whole grain food, the whole grain has to be the number one ingredient of that whole grain food. So the Knapsack self-assessment actually measures these things in a pre-post design. With regard to beverages, drinking water is available both inside and outside. Children are reminded to drink water. There's no servings of sugary drinks, nor is there servings of 100% fruit juice. There's no servings of flavored milk. The milk that is served is non-fat or 1%. The feeding environment is, I think, a huge contribution to the success of what's happening with this initiative. Children serve themselves. The feeding environment is actually teaching children to be mindful of their eating. There's no TV, no videos on while eating. The teachers and staff actually eat with the children and role model the eating of the healthy foods that the children are being asked to eat. There's no double standards here where the children have to eat the healthy food and then the staff are in another room eating the unhealthy food. The teachers encourage the children to try new foods and less preferred foods. If they stop eating, the teachers ask the children, "Are you full? Would you like me to remove your plate?" If the children ask for second helpings, the teachers prompt the child and say, "Are you full? Are you really hungry? Do you want to eat more?" Food is also not used as a reinforcer. Food is also not used as a punishment. With regard to the policy implementation, parents receive information about what foods can be provided for the children, what beverages can be provided. There's healthy mealtime environments. The teachers are practicing on a daily basis, encouraging the children to eat healthy, not using food to calm down children or to encourage appropriate behavior. And then there's professional development staff trainings, as well as family education programs with regard to child nutrition. There's guidelines as to what you can bring in for celebrations such as birthday parties and celebrating the holidays. And then fundraising at the ECE cannot include food items. For the physical component, time provided 60 minutes of physical activity in a half-day program, 2 hours in a full-day program. They're not to sit more than 15 minutes at a time. The outdoor and indoor play environments, there's a designated area for play space, and there's portable play equipment that is used. And the ECEs are also encouraged to have a vegetable garden, of which they then grow the vegetables and then serve those vegetables to the children at harvest time. Teachers' practices, no reduction of play time more than 5 minutes as punishment. And then the teachers supervise, verbally encourage, and most importantly, they join in the play time activities with the children. And there's also social marketing all over the walls about not only physical activity and the importance of physical activity, but also the importance of healthy eating. Whoops, let me go back one. Okay, with this, this particular scale, this is measuring that there's professional staff training as well as families receiving training on physical education. And then all of this here, these are all of the physical activity policies, of which, in a way, I've sort of mentioned many of them. But to move this along quickly, I think one of the critical ones is that there's adequate playtime on days when it's raining out or the weather's poor. And so they have a backup plan for physical activity within indoors, which a lot of ECEs prior to this initiative, it's raining outside, looks like we're not going to play today. Okay. So the TIU staff administered the pre-post assessments. Again, 25 ECEs in year one, 50 in year two. There's 100% participation rate with regard to that. And then there was an online nominal group process, and if you don't know what a nominal group is, that's essentially a structured focus group methodology. We did the nominal groups with the 25 ECEs that fully completed the program in year one. As you remember, the abstracts for this session were due way back in February, so we had year one data. Right now we're actually in the middle of collecting data on the other 50 ECEs in terms of the nominal group information. Okay, so I tried to make my slides very seasonal, and I'm hoping that this doesn't prompt people to want to go out and get some pumpkin pie. Here's the program mean and then the post program mean, and those are paired t-test findings there on the right. And really, when you take a look at what's happening with the nutrition practices, and this is just after 1 year of intervention, and we've got another, we're in year two now. We just started year three, and we got two more years to go in terms of helping these ECEs move this along. So these percentage changes are anywhere from 5 to 8%. The bottom, the policy implementation change was huge. That was a 14% change, in that the ECEs then had written policies as to what foods could be provided, as well as what physical activity was going to occur on a daily basis. And here's the changes that we've seen in the physical activity. Here, the changes are more significant. We're looking at anywhere from 11 to 19% change with regard to our pre and our post measures, with the physical activity policy implementation having the largest change in our NAPSAC assessments. With regard to the nominal groups, we asked what were the barriers in terms of program launch, and always with federal funding, it's the delays in getting funding and being able to start this initiative. And, you know, the school cycle, if you will, doesn't necessarily match up with the funding cycle. So school starts, no funding, we can't really launch this initiative. Then the funding comes in, and then the rules change at the Early Childhood Education Center. Another was the lack of resources. The ECEs talked about, you know, if you're going to buy healthier food for the children, it's going to cost more. And if we're going to increase the physical activity, it's going to cost more money to buy that portable equipment. Some of the ECEs didn't have the space indoors to do physical activity when it was raining out, or they didn't have enough space outdoor for activity outside. And then another key barrier was a lot of the children were not accustomed to eating fruit. They were not accustomed to eating vegetables within their home environment. And for some of the ECEs, the staff talked about it being a real challenge to get children to try new, healthier foods. With regard to the supports, there was a number of different organizations that provided technical assistance, and the Keystone Kids Go group, work group, which is a coalition of about 5 or 6 different agencies, they stood out as being instrumental in terms of helping the ECEs launch this initiative. The other supports was the ECE staff embracing change and functioning as role models. We saw more change, it's like a mediating variable, if you will, with regard to the ECEs where the staff were actually modeling the physical activity and out there playing with the children. And then another support is the staff working to provide nutrition education to the parents. They found that to be quite useful. In fact, parents were encouraged to actually participate in the educational programming that was provided to the children, and the staff talked about that being a very important component. So recommendations, I didn't talk about the response rate. The response rate for the nominal groups was only 56%, I think it's on my slide, 56-59%. Part of that is that the phone numbers that we had, there was either staff turnover or the phone numbers that we had for the teachers was the classroom phone, and so the teachers would not answer the phone during the time that the class was being provided. And then, of course, if the class is over, the teacher's not in the classroom because he or she's on her way. Another recommendation is reduce the delays in funding, and that's not happening this year. We're in November now, and the state budget has yet to be approved. We've been waiting since July 1st on that. What else? So continue working with the ECE to encourage the teacher's role in healthy eating, modeling healthy eating, but also physical activity. A lot of the teachers, they were okay and were willing to model the healthy eating, but they had their own physical disabilities or their own, high BMI, if you will, and it was difficult for them to actually be physically active with the children. And then last, what we're going to do is this year is conduct an organizational network analysis to actually look at the pathways of collaboration between the ECEs and the various agencies that have been providing technical assistance. Because one of the things that we're seeing in that year one of those 25 ECEs is that they're continuing to collaborate with those organizations beyond the funding cycle. And so we want to see, you know, what is the half-life of this organizational change within the ECEs post-funding. And so we're going to be doing that this year. That's it.
Thank you.